Hey, welcome to Renovatus. Good to have you here. I'm talking to you without a mask. We have to pre-record a message because on this Sunday, the Renovatus Church is out at Camp Yamhill in a retreat. And so here we are. By the way, some important news. Next Sunday, no face-to-face meeting also. There'll be a pre-recorded message next week. Tune in. And the Sunday after that is also an interesting Sunday because the Sunday after that, we don't have a home anymore. The Renovatus Church doesn't have a place to meet, and so we're looking around. So if you would be prayerful about that, that would be so good, so awesome, so helpful and worthwhile. This COVID virus, hasn't it been frustrating and exciting and depressing and exhilarating? One of the best blessings that's come out of this for me is this right here. That is, I used to define the Renovatus Church by who met in this particular building on this particular day at these particular hours. And that's how I would sort of count. And now we have things going on that just, I'm kind of going, oh, I have a church that I can see face to face, and I have another church that sees me, and we interact through emails and through texts. So I would encourage you, if you're part of my church family, that drop me a note from time to time. That would be awesome. That would be good. So you got communion stuff? That's good. As we were singing that song just now, there was one lyric that sort of made my mind wander away. When we sang, "But you have never failed me yet," since July of last year, I've been doing intermittent fasting. And so in the last year, I've lost 30 pounds. I feel better. I look really good. But my body's really betrayed me. My body has really failed me. I used to have a gym membership right here. But when I was a member here, it's not like when I walked in the door, they all said, "Kevin, welcome back." I wasn't that faithful. Right now, I've lost this weight. That's good. But am I exercising regularly? Not really. I want to. It happens in my head. Just my body isn't helping things along. And so as we were singing about that, my mind just sort of wandered about this body. As we were singing about the body of Christ, I was thinking about the body of Kev. And my body, it's betraying me. I'm 63 years old, and it's betraying me in ways that I never saw coming. I used to do things, accomplish things, have certain activities that I would do without thinking. But now I have to stop and negotiate and think, wait, how am I going to get up off the floor if I sit down on the floor? Wait, how do I get out of this car without negotiating? Wait, should I do some stretches before I climb those stairs? There's so many things about my body that I used to do automatically, but now my body is saying, I think we need to negotiate just a little bit. It's betrayal. It's betrayal. Last Wednesday, I do this daily discipline. It's not exercise. I do this daily discipline called the Daily Audio Bible, which you can find at dailyaudiobible.com. It's an app, and basically, every day, somebody reads to me a portion of the Old Testament, of the New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs, and I get this lovely cross-section of Scripture every day. Last Wednesday, it was 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14, and it was about body stuff. Paul was comparing the church to the body of Christ. And I want to read to you this lovely passage. Listen carefully. What do you hear from this? Paul writes, "The human body has many parts, but many parts make up the whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews and some are Gentiles. Some are slaves, some are free, but we all have been baptized into one body and we all share the same spirit. Yes, the one body has many parts, but not just one part. If the foot says, 'I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand,' that doesn't make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, 'I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye,' would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? If the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? Our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where He wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, 'I don't need you.' And the head can't say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' In fact, some parts of the body that seem the weakest and the least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts that we regard as less honorable are those that we clothe with the greatest care. For we carefully protect those parts that shouldn't be seen, while the more honorable parts, we do not require that kind of special care. So God has put the body together, such as need extra honor, and care is given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body. Each of you is a part of it." I love this passage, and I just want to point out four lovely, meaningful observations before we're done here today. First observation is this: diversity is the norm. That's the design from verses 13 and 14. For me to look at somebody else's gifts and abilities and be envious, that within the body doesn't make much sense. And he's saying that's how it is in the body of Christ. If I'm envious of you and your abilities to do things, who does that serve? We all have a place. But maybe somebody says, "Wait, Kevin, these two hands are the same. I just want to be like the other. I just want to have another hand friend. I just want to have another foot friend." Well, I hear what you're saying, but what if you're a belly button? Or what if you're a nose? I'm just pointing out that the diversity that we see in a church family, that's how it's supposed to be. There shouldn't be any reason why the members of, let's pick a church, the Renovatus Church, why any members should all look homogeneous. They should all look and sound and talk the same. Now, we ought to be marked by diversity. I hope that somebody I know feels a little bit loneliness because they're the only liver in the body, because I'm telling you, we need livers. I don't know what to do about the appendix. If you feel like you're an appendix, "Kevin, I feel like I'm all alone and I don't know what my job is." Well, here's what I do know. This body here was designed by a designer, and he knows about the appendix. We don't know it. We haven't figured it out yet. Calm down. Observation number two is envy and jealousy, they don't have a home here. Paul pursues this thought in 15, 16, and 17 of that 12th chapter. there's a lot of time and a lot of energy that's really lost when we waste time and energy comparing ourselves with other people around us. It just doesn't fit. It just doesn't belong. As a matter of fact, Paul to the same church in another letter in 2 Corinthians, he says this, people who compare themselves with others are ignorant and foolish. So I'm just saying, if you're struggling with jealousy and the people around you, and I want you to know clearly that that's not a healthy place that God's going to do things from. When envy and jealousy raise their head, we're the quickest and the first to say, there's not a place for that here. I'm going to have to process this through some other way, through some other place. So, I want to encourage you, whatever part of the body you are, take delight in that. Take delight in being an elbow. Congratulations if you're an eyelash. Nostrils of the world, go get them. Because God has beautiful things in mind for you, and for you to look at other people, it just may not be the best for you. Observation number three, this and the body of Christ is God's design. It's in verses 18 through 20 and also in verse 24 where he says, God puts each of us just as he wants. In verse 24, God's put this body together. It not only ought to make me look at myself and go, huh, I may not really get it, but I think I'm something special because God's designed me here. And also allow that to translate into the people around you. When you look sideways at those people and you're wondering, what is this person doing in my world? Maybe from time to time we ought to get to a place where we sort of scrunch our noses and say, hey, she's made in the image of God. I think I need to pay attention to whatever God's doing in her, whatever God is saying through him, because it just might be important because, well, God's designed this body, and here I am. Last observation is interdependence over independence. We Americans, we make a big deal about how independent we can be. And it's a lovely and a beautiful attribute, but the truth is, any body part that says, I have no need of you, well, that's just foolish. That's just silly talk and silly behavior. And by the way, when you say those things, when you have those thoughts, it doesn't change a thing. If this is the Christ body, then Christ is the one that has control over it. And because a hand or foot has an opinion about some other body part, doesn't change the truth. We have been made by God's design, by his creativity, and we've been created with dignity and with beauty and with honor and with harmony in mind. And so start asking God to remind you of who you are in him. Because when we are dismissive of others around us, when we discount what's going on in there, that's divisive body talk and doesn't have a place here. I love where Paul ends up in this paragraph by saying, and so when we suffer, everybody suffers. And when we celebrate, everybody celebrates. A couple weeks ago, I was installing a light in my garage. A piece fell from the ceiling, and as it went down, it sliced a piece of my wrist. That's going to be a scar for the rest of my life. It bled like nobody's business. And in that instant, I didn't care about the hardware. I didn't care about electrocution. Every single body part was concerned about Mr. Wrist. The elbow was concerned about the blood that was dripping down into him. But my eyes, my mouth, everything about me was pretty much focused on this one single body part, because when he suffered, we were all suffering. each of us needs to feel worthwhile, to feel valued. But part of the body, we want to belong to the body, but sometimes I forget. Sometimes I feel jealous of you, or I begrudge your abilities. I feel sad and alone and forgotten, but God has assembled this body just as He desires, just as He had in mind. Together, we are His handiwork, His design, and that makes you and me irreplaceable. No matter how I might feel, the truth is, we are forever lashed together. We're held tight by the love of Jesus Christ. And as part of the body, each of us is an irreplaceable part of the whole. I sort of wanted to be a little bit silly to take an edge off, but here's the truth. The silly is to counterbalance something that's very serious, and that is, if you don't feel a part of the body of Christ, something needs to change, because that means you're living outside of His design. So ask Him for reminders. Ask Him to put you into some relationship. Find some ways to discover that interdependence. Here's the best part. At Renovatus, every week, no, it's not true. The body of Christ regularly gets together to share in one of those reminders. We take in what we call communion, but the reality is it's a reminder of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. His physical body was given on our behalf. His blood was shed so that we could become the body of Christ. If you're struggling to feel a part, then this morning I want to challenge you to take some of that reminder. And you're going to take a piece of bread that is the reminder of Jesus' body. And you're going to take a bit of juice that is a reminder of His blood. And you're going to take those emblems into your body. Part of the body of Christ is about to be assimilated into your body. And that, my friends, is a reminder that we are being assimilated as the body of Christ into His. He's our only hope. The only sense that we can make of this is through Him. As you celebrate communion, even if you feel like one of those weak part of the bodies that Paul was talking about, even if you're feeling alone and distant, here's a reminder of the body that He has created and that He is creating. So allow yourself to grow. Allow yourself to hope. Accept His design over your preferences. Yeah, the storms are going to come. The COVID virus is going to rage on. The relief may be way out there. The dark storm clouds may be billowing. But I want to encourage you to delight in your role, your place in the body. As we sing this next song, I want to encourage you to sing it. As we sing this next song, I want to urge you to pay attention to every lyric. And I want you to pay attention to this specific lyric. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. He's all we've got, my friends. I love you. Let's continue to worship.